All right, so this is just gonna be like a big old fan gush because you know how I get with these fucking shows.
I love it. It makes me so happy.
Right. Hello, and welcome to My Streaming Bubble, the podcast where I talk about the shows I love with the people I tolerate. I'm your host, Jen, and for today's mini bubble, or at least I hope it's a mini bubble, Meg and I are back in the Bridgieverse to talk all about the prequel series, Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story, available on Netflix. Greetings, gentle Meg.
Oh, you have so much faith.
I was like, this is going to happen. We're going to do it. We'll see.
Yeah, you know what? No outline and just free reign talking about Queen Charlotte. Of course.
What could go wrong?
It's going to be brief. It's going to be straight to the point. Mm-hmm. No tangents.
Nothing. No rants. No rambles.
It's going to be as short as my trip to the grocery store today.
Which was impressively short, I will say.
I can't believe it. It was insane. Anyway.
It's magic. Anyway.
Unless you guys want to hear my grocery store story, which no one does.
I already heard it. It's not that. She went and she got groceries. The end.
3 hours later.
Okay. Never mind. Okay. Anyway.
I went to two stores in 2.5 hours.
Well, yeah, because you got to go to like Woodman's and then maybe Hy-Vee or like Whole Foods. Anyway. So we're not talking about the grocery store chains.
I have one skill. It's getting people off topic.
And you're so super good at that. Is that something like you can put on a resume?
I know, right? I'll be a terrible project manager.
Or the best.
Or the best.
Depending where your attention spans are.
See? Do it again. All right.
Okay. So like I said, we're talking about Queen Charlotte. This is a mini bubble, so we're going to try and keep it to an hour and a half. There is no outline. There's no Midwest goodbye, and it's just going to be a fan gush. So this series, and please bear with me with the pronunciations, I did check via interviews and practiced earlier this morning, but didn't practice.
She's had a whole day since then.
Yes. So it stars India Amatifio, Corey Milcrest, Arsima Thomas, Sam Clement, Freddie Dennis, and Michelle Fairley, just to name a few of the faces featured in the flashbacky bits. That's a lot of F words. Like, not the F word, but...
The flashbacky bits.
Flashbacky bits.
You mean the main show.
The main
The flash forwards are where, like, we see Golda and Ruth Gemmo.
We do get our beloved mamas of the ton. Let's see, Adoja Ando, Ruth Gemmell, and the queen herself, Golda Rochevelle. So we will be spoiling the shit out of Queen Charlotte and probably the first two seasons of Bridgerton, but I assume listeners have watched those and also listened to our episodes covering season one and two.
And frankly, if you haven't watched the thing that we're talking about, why are you listening?
Yeah. I mean, unless you just love the sound of our voices, it's like an ASMR thing.
Mine is very soothing, I have been told. And considering half of the episodes I'm on aren't actually talking about what we're supposed to talk about, I guess I get it.
So, all right, like I said, there's no Midwest goodbye or any of that. This is simply a chance for us to gush about this show because I cannot breathe when it is not near. So.
Oh my God.
What did you think of Queen Charlotte?
I loved it. I was so hesitant to watch it because we know how, like, historic, well, I don't know how many people historically know what happened with King George and Queen Charlotte, but we know within the show, like, we've seen where they are in the present timeline that we're, oh my God. Sorry, my kid just slammed the garage door as hard as they could.
Damn kids.
Okay, but we've seen where George and Charlotte end up, and it's so heartbreaking. right? So I was like, do I really want to care about these people anymore? And the answer was, of course, yes,
Of
I did.
course, yeah.
And I mean, I think it's so funny whenever I question myself about watching things that are going to make me feel sad. Because I'm a slut for angst, and like, please give me all the pain. And it's so good. Like, it broke my heart. It makes it so poignant and so lovely to watch this love story, and it makes you understand Queen Charlotte and her attitude towards Whistledown so much more. And like, I want to throw hands now at Whistledown, because like, throughout all of Bridgerton, you think she's just hates Lady Whistledown because she's getting the scoop before Queen Charlotte knows anything, or that she's kind of poking at Queen Charlotte's fashion. And she, oh my God, she dresses in Georgian attire instead of Regency attire, so George doesn't get sick. Like, oh my God, But like, before watching this, you kind of think that that's kind of where her annoyance with Whistledown is. But then you remember all the digs and the shit that Whistledown was saying about her marriage and her husband and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, it adds so much more depth to the universe of Bridgerton. And it was lovely and heartbreaking and sad. And Corey and India did a fantastic job.
Oh my God,
Like,
so good.
the chemistry is wonderful, and I love like the last scene when present day Charlotte was like, "Hide from the heavens with me under the bed," and then they did the like looking at each other, and he's like, "You didn't go over the wall." And she goes, "No, I didn't go over the wall." And it's young George and present day Charlotte, and young Charlotte and present day. Oh my God,
I
it's
swear to
just
God, I'm
like,
gonna start crying.
I know, and it's so beautiful, and it's so lovely, and it's just like, the depth of their love for each other is transcendent, and it's beautiful. And so much when you think of like, it's, and again, when you watch Bridgerton, and she's like, "Is he dead?" And like, she seems embarrassed by George when the few times we kind of see her annoyed with him and stuff like that. But then to see that her heart is just breaking more and more every time, it's just, oh God.
Yeah, I
I have a
fucking
lot of feelings.
I had so many feelings. I cried so fucking hard at the end of the season during the whole like hide from the heavens and everything, and oh, just like just sobs. And it's like the series is so it's so beautiful, and there's so much love, and it's just so fucking heartbreaking all at the same goddamn time. And it's actually really kind of impressive and lovely how they did all of that. So when I rewatched it for the podcast, we'll say quote for like that I just today's recording was
For
an excuse for me to
the
rewatch it immediately. I tell you, when at the in that first episode when George is catching Charlotte about to climb the wall, I started crying on my rewatch just knowing that final scene and everything of the series. I was just like,
Farmer
oh my God,
George.
Farmer George. That's what he told her. That's how he introduced just George. Just George. Oh my God. But
So
yeah,
many feels.
so many feels. And I completely agree. I love how it adds depth to Queen Charlotte because, you know, we just see these glimpses of her in the first two seasons of Bridgerton. And you're just kind of like, I mean, I loved her. I thought she was great, but you only get these little snippets. So you kind of think, like, oh, maybe she's a little cold, you know, standoffish, whatever. But then this series definitely gives you all that context as to why and just how much she does actually love George. Because in season two of Bridgerton, there's that moment George comes out after the whole wedding fiasco and everything.
Oh,
And
he's
she
looking
does
for
look,
his Lottie.
and oh, God, yes, and Lottie, and I love that he called her that. But it's like she does look a little embarrassed, but at the same time, you see, I felt like you could see some of that heartbreak
Yeah.
in
Well,
her
and it's,
face when
and
all that was going down.
I think the difference is that she was embarrassed for him, not
Yeah.
embarrassed of him.
Yeah.
and kind of being able to see, like I said, hindsight is 20/20 when you watch that. And I think it's kind of purposeful in Bridgerton that we don't get as much from her. She is the queen. She's doesn't she's not going to have a lot of close confidants really, except for Brimsley.
Oh,
Like, we're just gonna sit here. This whole thing is just gonna be us crying. Because that's a whole other thing. But yeah, I thought it was sweet. You get that little bit of like enemies to lovers situation where like they hate each other. And George, I'm sorry, George, what were you doing? This was your wedding night. You couldn't spend like 10 minutes with her. You couldn't go get the deed done and move on. That's okay, even days.
Yeah. Oh my God. That whole sequence, the even days, it's just you two silly fucking gooses. You love each other. You want to be next. And you're just using this. Oh, well, it's even days. I guess we're going to have to do this. And then have
You
like some of the
silly
hottest sex
gooses.
imaginable.
That all of your footmen have to start watching in the middle of the
God, that part was so funny. It's like y'all stood there. They all stood there a little too long. Like even Reynolds before shooing everybody out. Like as soon as he spun her around, that's when you start
not in
clearing
front of
the
my salad. From
room.
what I know, though, like historically, it wasn't unusual, like. Who care? Like no big deal. Like
Yeah.
they were invisible to the king and queen pretty much anyway.
Yeah. And that doesn't surprise me at all, but it was just kind of funny to see it play out on screen, the
Reynolds
looks
and
back.
Brimsley, like, what the fuck do we do?
Oh, and okay, so Reynolds and Brimsley, how fucking adorable were they? And I loved it. Once they both kind of were both on screen, I was like, are these our gays? Are these our gays for the season? And then it goes right into like the next scene or something is them in like
Ripping each other's
Brimsley's.
clothes
Yep.
off.
And I loved how Brimsley was like more of like the aggressor type, kind of pushing Reynolds around, and Brimsley the shorter one being the shorter one and everything. And I was like, you guys are so fucking cute. But then the way that they are each so devoted to Reynolds to the king and Brimsley to the queen and fighting for them to be together, especially Brimsley trying to be like, what is going on with the king? Why can't he be there? And it's,
Well,
I mean,
and
just
not even just fighting for the king and queen to get be together, because if the king and queen are together, then Brimsley and Reynolds can be together. And that just adds such
That's
another
right.
level of heartbreak when you think about how the queen is living at the Buckingham House, or I think it's palace by this point, or she's
It's
living where
still
she's
house,
living.
yeah.
And the king's at Kew. So Reynolds and Brimsley can't be like, I'm sorry, Reynolds is alive. I don't care. He is fine. He is alive. He is fine. No one has said anything different, but there's been a lot of speculation. Like, why wasn't he dancing with Brimsley? And that scene with Brimsley and him dancing, and then it goes to Brimsley dancing by himself. And I'm just like, oh my
Oh, the tears. Oh, the ugly cry. I was like,
God.
and then in that scene, like towards the end, when present day Brimsley's dancing with himself and the one guy comes down the stairs, and like I didn't really pay attention. You couldn't really see the
You think
face
for a
very
second,
well.
maybe it's
I
Reynolds.
was like, is that Reynolds? And then it wasn't. And I was like, he better just be
He's
attending
with
to
the
his
king.
duties. Yes. Duties. Duty, duty, duty. So many
Duties.
duties.
All
The duties of the ton.
Oh, God. But it's, yeah, it's so good. I really loved seeing the experiment and how this alternative universe came to be. And I like that they explored that and had the reasons for why suddenly there, and it was like, and the rumor was whatever, like King George fell in love with Queen Charlotte, and therefore people who look like people of color and black people were allowed, quote unquote, to join the ton. But it's really interesting to see the actual machinations behind it, done by Princess Augusta, aka Catelyn Stark. Mean, she got to live in this one.
She got through a wedding, so that's always nice to see. I'm sorry, but anytime I see any actors from Game of Thrones and there's a wedding scene, I do get a little nervous.
Don't let them close the door.
Oh, but I really enjoyed Princess Augusta, even though she was very kind of like annoying and infuriating at times. I really enjoyed Michelle's performance, and even I think maybe my favorite moment with Princess Augusta was towards the end with her and Lady Danbury. And we will gush all about Lady Danbury here in a minute.
Wee baby Danbury.
Oh my God. So, but that moment where Lady Danbury breaks down and starts crying, and the princess is like, no, we will have none of that. But then she kind of has that moment of trying to kind of make her feel better about it, you know, like cover the bruises and endure. And just like, you need to be strong because you are a worthy adversary, or adversary is how they pronounce it, which threw me off for a second. I was like, anniversary, what? Oh, pronunciations. So
Words, accents.
I really loved it, because even though Augustus is like, I don't like you, but you're fun to play with.
I think finding an intellectual match that would kind of play her games and stuff would be really interesting, because she can't really and social match in a way, because she can't really play games with Charlotte, because Charlotte's a fucking queen, and George's loyalties have very clearly gone to Charlotte, which apps I love that George was not a mama's boy. I that made me very happy. I thought Augusta was such a great character, and she loves her son so
So
much.
much.
And that love is toxic and it's painful in a lot of ways, but you never doubt that it's from a place of love. She's not trying to quote unquote control him. She's trying to save him. And there weren't a lot of tools to do that at the time. But yeah, I love that scene with her and Lady Danbury. And I don't know, my favorite line from her is like, I don't remember names, I'm female. And that's just like, like, that's gold. That's perfect. I'm just gonna use that from now. I'm terrible at remembering people's names, so I'm just that's it. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, I'm sorry, I don't remember names. I'm
I'm
female.
female. Yep. Yeah, that was a
And I
great
won't
one.
apologize.
I laughed so hard. I was like, oh my God.
But she's great. And yeah, young watching Lady Danbury, the beginnings. I would watch an entire
Yes.
season just about Lady Danbury and how
100%.
she got from, because we see the beginnings of it, but we don't really get to see kind of the overarching situation. I loved this. I don't know why I loved it so much, but so her and Violet are such good friends now, and knowing that she is having an affair with Violet's dad.
Oh my God. So, oh my Lord.
I've seen
That
so
was
many.
a banana. That was bananas. That whole when everything kind of started taking that turn, I'm like, you know, I'm watching the show, I'm enjoying it and everything. And then we get about halfway through the season, and that's when I I messaged you a bunch one night. Kind of took me back to our old G chat days where I'd send you messages late at night and you'd respond in the morning.
Like a 6.5 hour lag time between. And then you wouldn't respond to me about them for like another 5 hours after that, especially if it was a weekend, because I'm still up at 5 no matter what.
Yeah, but oh my God. So things kind of shifted, and all of a sudden I was just obsessed with Lady Danbury. So like, from basically when Lord Danbury dies, and we learn that she has been about her groomed upbringing since the age of 3. She was promised to this man at 3 years old and then raised to like everything he likes. And oh my God, that was so fucking heartbreaking, and it's pretty gross. And but to see her truly like the Princess Augusta says, she covers her bruises and she endured, and she finds herself. She There's a line she has when she's talking to her handmaid Coral about she feels she's new, and there's like a sadness, but also a lot of hope in that. But also, and it's also scary. I totally understand how that can be absolutely terrifying. You spend your whole fucking life being told this is how you need to be for this person, and it can be kind of scary trying to find yourself, but also fun and exciting, and and just fun and exciting in that new kind of
Yeah.
way. And we see that, and we see her switch from wearing all the gold and everything that Lord Danbury likes to kind of more her colors that we see in the Bridgerton series, kind of like the purples and the earth tones and everything. And I
Yeah.
loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, that unsurety, I think, when your entire life and your entire identity is built around one person, and to have like that for that, like honestly, when he dies, that's the first moment she's free. But that's so scary on top of being, 'cause who are you? And that's what she's like, who am I if I'm not his wife? Everything that he loved that was my favorite thing, and trying to find yourself at and having, I couldn't believe she was so young. She had four kids already, and the elation and the terror of suddenly not only just being alone in the world, but having your husband be the first member of the peerage to die after this experiment started, and being so unsure, like, what is your place? How are you going to take care of yourself? How are you going to take care of your children? And the link she goes to protect her son and his legacy. And I think that's wonderful and beautiful. And that's one of those things I really like about Bridgerton as a whole, is we see a lot of different ranges of relationships between mothers and their children, and varying levels of toxicity.
What makes it
It
so
is. But I really did like how it shows how she still supported her husband, and she never wanted him to feel embarrassed or slighted or upset. And she did so much work to help him gain what he wanted and he deserved. And I think it, like, she obviously she hated him, and I love the fact that she started an orphanage in his name because he hated children. And I'm like, but it just, she's such an interesting character, and I thought I've loved Lady Danbury since the beginning of Bridgerton, since the show, and she's not in the books really at all. But I like seeing these different shades of her. I like when she finally embraces her freedom. I was thrilled when she turned down that proposal, just because how could you go back to being someone's property after you've had that taste of freedom?
Yep,
Like, and
exactly.
especially if her son's legacy is secure, then she has no need. And being a widow is the freest a woman can possibly be. Like, frankly, because generally you'll have the money, like, obviously being a rich widow, like, let's be real. But you have the money, you have the status, you can have discreet affairs. If you want to, you're not being watched as if you were an unmarried woman, and you're not being like snubbed as if you're a divorcee. The shock, the
Oh,
show.
dang.
But I love that. And I love watching her and Violet's relationship get closer. And her, one of my favorite parts with that was when Violet got so upset about being teased or whatever for her ideas about marriage, when Queen Charlotte and her and Lady Danbury were talking about marriage, and Violet and Queen Charlotte's like, you have married two kids in like 2 years. What's your secret? Because I got 13 kids and I can't get them married and pregnant. Which I don't even blame her for being annoyed at her kids at this point. Like, y'all are royal, you're royal family members. That is your job.
That's their
But
duty.
that is your duty. Your one job is to produce an heir. Like, that is the one thing you're supposed to do. And then it's so tragic, though, when you hear Brimsley be like, your daughters couldn't leave you here. You're stuck in time.
Oh, I know, and he
It'd been
was
easier had
absolutely
he
right.
died. And I'm just like, oh God, like, it's right that it would have been easier if the king had died. But no.
I know.
Like, it's. But anyway, so then Violet's like, well, it helps if they're in love with each other. And Charlotte and Danbury were just like, yeah, but let's be real. Like, Charlotte didn't love George when they got married.
Right.
Like, she didn't know him. Lady Danbury hated her husband. And I thought it was so interesting that Violet, whose parents did not love each other, like, that was not a happy marriage
No,
at all,
obviously.
would have such an idealistic idea of marriage still at her age. Like, you would think she would realize that she and Edmund were an anomaly.
I think she was just too much in that bubble, so to speak.
Well, and then getting mad when Lady Danbury was like, "You're lucky to have to miss him. Like, you're lucky to
You're
feel that."
fortunate.
Like, I'm like, girl, just
I was
settle
pretty
down.
upset with Violet in that moment. I get that she was in a moment of grief, and you never really see clearly when you're kind of in that dark spot. But it was just kind of like it just kind of struck me that Lady Danbury and Violet seemed to be such good friends and close and everything that it was kind of a little surprising that Violet wasn't somewhat aware of Lady Danbury's shitty marriage. But then we see like Violet's just a child. She's not even of the age of to be coming out yet, according to her mother. So
I mean, she
and
was.
Lady Danbury is discreet. She's
I love
discreet.
that. I love that too. That whole the birthday hat and Violet being like, also, why are you mad? It was so long ago.
Well, and then why is Lady like I get Lady Danbury kind of revisiting all of that, but it's like, why would you put the birthday hat out in a common
Why
area
would
instead
it
of your
be in the public?
bedroom? And it's like you're friends with Violet to the point where you guys are over at each other's houses enough.
Plot. Plot. That's why.
I don't
Violet wouldn't be scurrying around in her bedroom. Like, she had to get some, she had to get it brought to her from her other house it. Like, was she walk just walking around wearing it?
Oh my God, that would have been so cute. I don't care. I would have loved it. But then the passive aggression with Violet and bringing out all of her past birthday
Oh my
hats
God, that was amazing
to
though.
try and catch Lady Danbury. And they seem to kind of have that moment where they Lady
They
Danbury
each know
sees
that the other
knows.
knows
Yep.
that they know.
Yep. And I was just like, ooh, how is this going to play into like the next season of Bridgerton, or even if there's another season of Queen Charlotte? I don't know, but
I just want to watch the affairs of Lady Danbury. Like, I would watch
no
10
shit.
seasons of that.
Absolutely. I thought she was the most fascinating character. I mean, I loved them all, but I really became so like enthralled with her backstory and everything. And one of my favorite parts with Lady Danbury and young Lady Danbury was that moment where she's kind of quote mourning, like she still is mourning Lord Danbury, but not in the way that a spouse, the fuck was that? A spouse would mourn, their husband or wife that they may have actually
If it was
cared
a love
for.
match,
Yep. So I thought that was so interesting the way that was depicted, because at first she's excited, no more baths, she tells Coral, and they have that really cute moment where they're just like, hee, and they hug, and then she goes on and puts on the performance of a lifetime. My husband,
was amazing.
it was. So I just loved how, and this is probably just goes to credit the actress, I don't have it,
Arsima?
Arsima,
Arsima
but
Thomas. Is it Arsima or Arsema?
Arsima.
I think it's Arsima Thomas, yeah.
But just her talent and her skill to convey such complicated emotions for such a complicated situation. And I'm just sitting there watching it, and I'm just like, I cannot even imagine what any of that feels like. But she does such a great job at putting that on screen and kind of giving us an idea of truly how complicated that is, what she was going through. Absolutely loved it. And yeah, I could watch the Lady Danbury show for years and years and years.
Forever. Like, just
Forever.
let's just watch her see what Thomas age.
And again, the casting is amazing for these younger versions of these characters. I mean, just perfect, not just looks, but then the way that the younger counterparts really picked up on the characters, kind of their
The
little
mannerisms and
mannerisms and everything, and the way they speak and hold themselves and carry themselves. It was so good. It was, I'm gonna say it was perfect.
Oh my God.
Oh my
My God.
God. Oh my God. Yeah. So I absolutely fucking loved everything about this. And then let's
I
see.
love it
So
so much that you get so into these shows and they're just so not your vibe. And I'm like, I'm gonna send you some other shows to watch that
you know, it's only you send me like a list of shows and it's maybe one every like 6 years I'll watch.
I know, I'm gonna keep going. Like Outlander is still what I'm gonna keep pressing you on.
And that one I keep seeing, like it keeps showing up on my, I think it's on Netflix right now. And so it shows up as like top picks for you. And I was like, I see what you're doing, Meg. You hacked my
Yeah.
Netflix account.
She's gonna be like, Poldark, Outlander,
Yeah.
those sweet, sweet period pieces.
Oh, someday, I'm sure. All right. All right. So with Lady Danbury and Violet's dad, Lord Ledger, what did you think of all of that and their rambles and just kind of the heartbreak in that as well, the mourning of that loss?
I thought it was, I loved that I guess I got a chance to see how beautiful and how wonderful sex can be with someone who cares even a little bit about your pleasure and your enjoyment of the situation. I loved that so much for her. I think Lord Ledger was a safe choice, obviously, for her to have that interlude with. I saw a lot of TikToks like, oh, okay, so Daphne and Anthony's taste in people come from their grandpa because they both marry people of color.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ. I thought it was perfect. I didn't want her to be in some kind of really long, prolonged affair. I liked that it was for a little while and it helped her transition from one part of her life to another part. And I loved that it didn't seem to end with any real malice or animosity between the two of them. I think it was kind of heartbreaking that he's like, I'm bringing my daughter along with me to one of our rambles.
Oh,
She's like,
God.
oh shit.
Yes.
I think it's, she still pines and mourns it more than she mourns her husband. Like when
Oh,
she went
yeah.
back to visit that little shed between their properties when she was older. And I thought it was lovely. I was not surprised at all that I, like, as soon as he was like, oh, she's nice, I'm like, oh, they're gonna do it.
Yeah. When he's like, I
And
like you, let's be friends. I was like, friends?
Let's be friends. And then his wife was low key racist the whole time. I'm like, I don't
Holy
even feel
shit,
bad.
right? God, why is she was just the worst. That's all I'm gonna say about her.
I feel like they had to do that though,
Yeah.
because I feel like if she had been like this devoted, loving, caring, tolerant, wonderful woman, that we wouldn't be able to forgive Agatha
Right.
for quote unquote breaking up a happy home. But it wasn't a happy home.
So
And so we're like, okay,
it works.
our morality will stretch enough for
It's
this.
fine. I love it how like it's like in the like when we did season one of The Cleaning Lady, how we root for infidelity.
Yes. Do it. Just do it. It's
It's
fiction, you
fine.
guys.
It's
It's
gonna be okay.
fiction. We can blame the spouses in fiction.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I really enjoyed that. I thought I completely agree. I think he was perfect for Agatha for that time. And like you said, kind of really, really helped her transition from one chapter of her life to this new, almost like a new book of her life in a way, because it's so far from, I mean, like a sequel book. So far from that first part with Lord Danbury and everything, and she does get to see that. I was so happy she got to enjoy sex because I was like, oh, this poor woman. And
Fun
especially in that
fact, they
moment.
used a bouncy ball for those sex scenes.
Seriously?
Yeah, like they had a bouncy ball between the two of them when her head kept hitting.
Oh my God. And I love that too with Queen Charlotte and talking to Lady Danbury about sex. Or no, so
Yeah.
she gets her sex ed from Lady Danbury, and then she is has her moment with George finally, and she's like, I don't like that part where my head hits the wall. Is there a way we cannot do that?
He's just like, yep, sure, works for
It's like, oh
me.
my God, you sweet baby angel. Just a wee thing.
I do love how the show, this show and the Bridgerton series, they don't apologize for women enjoying sex. There's not like there's the beginning part, like, oh, I don't know what we're doing. And I think Daphne, we really saw that the most. I think that's just because we followed Daphne's story. But like once they get the hang of it, they're like, oh, this is great. This is fun. And I love that. I love that for them. And I'm just that's part of why I'm so happy that Lady Danbury's husband died when she was so young. Because we don't know how young she was until the show when her husband died and she was allowed to, like, I know she had more than one dalliance. I know Lady Danbury was having some fun. Because why wouldn't you? Like,
Oh, she is
honestly.
discreet. That is her
She is
thing.
discreet, ma'am. And then, except for when she has the married lady lunches, where all of the married women of society get together and just shit talk their husbands and talk about sex and stuff. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah, I love that moment when Lady Danbury and Lord Ledger are doing it, and they're doing missionary, and so she's looking up at the ceiling and she's like, no, this
Don't
isn't
like
working
this.
for
Yeah.
me. And she literally takes charge, and I think this is perfect, maybe a little on the nose or something else, of her transitioning into this woman of taking charge and being her own person and really doing what she wants and
Taking control of her own
taking control.
destiny.
That's right, thank you. And how this basically sets that path for the Lady Danbury that we meet in Bridgerton in the first two seasons. So I absolutely loved the whole Lady Danbury storyline in this. Like I said, I could watch just a show about her. I could watch those parts over and over again. Like if someone did like just a supercut of just all of Lady Danbury's story from Queen Charlotte, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. That's good enough. Yeah, it
Good
was
enough.
she's great. I enjoyed the show. I'm wondering, so did this show affect, I know we talked a little bit, did this show affect how you see Penelope at all?
A little bit.
Knowing that she's Whistledown and like all up in all of the shit.
A little bit, especially on the rewatch and really kind of seeing how this season all plays out and everything, and then thinking back to, yeah, just kind of how nasty Whistledown can be and so judgmental. And even in these little kind of voiceover moments in each episode, we get a little Whistledown, which I love that they still brought that in and had that in the flash forwardy bits. Either way, but still just kind of like, oh, maybe the queen will focus on her family now and finding love matches for them instead of the people. So it really kind of, I hadn't really thought of about it too much, but I mean, I was getting pretty mad with Penelope in season two, Bridgerton. And so this kind of really makes me shake my head at her, like, you judgy
It
little
me
bitch.
I know, and it but it makes you also realize how young she is, because who else would have the audacity to say the shit that she says about everybody than a 16-year-old girl? Like, honestly, because she's just they have the amount of arrogance and they don't know any better because they can't see more than 3 feet in front of them. So I found it really interesting. It made me really annoyed with Penelope. I was annoyed with Penelope a bit in season two of Bridgerton, but that was so overshadowed so much by how much I wanted to punch Eloise. Which, if you listen
Yes.
to our season two of Bridgerton coverage, I make quite clear. Penelope got a little bit of the benefit of my annoyance with Eloise, but. Like like I said, the audacity to talk about a situation that you don't know anything about, makes her seem so young. Like, 'cause yeah, she's 16, I think, in season two of Bridgerton. She's pretty young unless they've aged her up a whole lot, but
I
I
don't
don't
think
think
they
they
did.
did. And I know in the books, like, her story is takes place several years
Oh,
after the
okay.
next one. So she's almost on the shelf, basically, for her story. But I don't know what they're gonna do in season three, which I can't wait. When is it coming out? This is the part I didn't like about Queen Charlotte coming out, because I was like, they're doing this to hold us off till season three. And also, everyone getting mad now about Colin in season three, like, King George, he's it now. I don't know how they're gonna top King George for Colin. And I'm like, have faith in Shonda.
Right?
Okay.
Right?
Stop calling Colin crusty. He's still a handsome man.
Who's calling Colin crusty? That was almost hard to say. I mean,
TikTok.
yeah. Fucking
How dare
TikTok.
you? Yes, King George is a very handsome man. He's not really my type, but he's a good-looking guy. I get it, but how dare you shame Luke Newton like that? Have you not seen recent pictures of him? Like, they're posting season one pictures of baby face Colin and stuff like that. Like, look how crusty he is.
Doesn't
Like, he is
count.
21.
That doesn't count. That, no. They
See,
can post pictures of him from season two when he's got his like learned
his
man's stubble
oh,
facial
his
hair.
baby peach fuzz. The man could not grow a beard to save his life. That was the worst look. That
Gotcha.
season one, but they've showed more recent pictures of him from filming season three, and I'm like, y'all,
Okay.
he did a glow up. It's okay. He's gonna be handsome. It's gonna be fine. I'm really excited to see a plus size female love interest, like, as the main character too, with Penelope. I'm wondering. I have lots of thoughts with that, but we're not here to talk about that.
So let's talk a bit more about Queen Charlotte and King George and kind of and just their relationship and like the Mad King and like, quote, the Mad King George and
Yeah.
these quote treatments that he endured. So I was reading a little bit about the real King George and the mental, like the illnesses and diseases or whatever that people are thinking that he might have had. And one of them, I can't even pronounce it, but it's like a nervous system. That's like the
Yeah.
porphyria.
That's
And
it. That's the
that
perfect
nailed
pronunciation.
it. And then also like bipolar. And I'm not sure what else, but it was very interesting to kind of see, especially that other disease that I can't pronounce, how it manifests and it makes them manic and hallucinate and all these all the kind of symptoms or whatever that goes along with that diagnosis. It's incurable, or at least then. I don't know about now. I think it's still not curable. There's no real treatment for it. But what did you think about this depiction of the Mad King and his the mental illness, and then obviously this torturous treatment from this terrible Dr. Monroe, I think.
I think it was Monroe, yeah. I thought it was really interesting. So, and it was Dr. Monroe, and it was Bedlam, basically, was where he was
Yes,
a doctor
yes.
from, and this was kind of the beginning of it's I think it was Bellingham, but they called it Bedlam. And it was accurate. Like, they would torture him to, quote unquote, help him, because the idea then was mental health was evil spirits or darkness, dark spirits kind of, and bad blood. It's ridiculous now to think of it, but this was something that was really serious, and it wasn't like I Monroe, I think he was getting off on the power he had over a king, but I don't think he was like sadistic in that he was really enjoying hurting George. I think he enjoyed the influence he had over George. But I also think the show did a really good job of what it's like to love somebody with mental illness, and especially a severe mental illness, because I don't think that's something that we see a lot of in media. We see people suffering from mental illness and going through it, and their pain, but I appreciated seeing something that shows what it's like to love someone in that pain, to love somebody who's has worlds creeping in on them, whose mind is not theirs, and that pain and that grief of watching somebody that you love disappear in front of you. And I think that's something that we can relate to now when you think of stuff like Alzheimer's and other kinds of dementia and stuff like that. And I was once asked, would I rather somebody at like my husband, for instance, or my parents, like lose someone where their mind is sharp and their body is wasting away, or their body is strong, but their mind is wasting away. And I'm like, well, I've watched both and they're both awful. I don't want any of it. I want them to be totally fine and normal. Because it's devastating, and it's such a different kind of pain and grief. I think Corey did a great job depicting it. I thought Reynolds was so strong. Like I thought his reaction in that relationship was so special and so strong, and I loved watching that. But I just, yeah, it just broke my heart. And like I said, my heart was broken pretty much the whole time watching it, because it's like, you, like I said, you know where they end up, and the journey is just like, no, I don't want to feel.
See, with Dr. Monroe, I felt like he was more getting off on it being a sadistic motherfucker. I see what you're saying about, like, and I think there was a part of him that maybe did kind of care and want to try and really, really help the
Oh, I
kid,
don't think he cared. I don't
but
think he cared.
I just saw him as a sadistic motherfucker that just, yeah, just got off on this, and I did not like him. And the fact that Charlotte let him live, I was
Well,
like,
you know
damn
what? He's my favorite character.
I know. You stand, Dr. Monroe. And
I love when Charlotte was just like, I don't care about his, like, I care about his happiness. If he needs to be mad,
soul.
let him be mad.
Yes.
And when she tells him, she's like, I will tell you where we are. I will stand with you between the heavens and the earth. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, shit.
Everyone talks about him saying, I love you and my heart calls for you. I'm like, what about her? She wrote
Exactly.
the, that was the better, I, that was the better love speech, in my opinion.
I 100% agree, because she's like, I've heard you say all these things. You don't want me here, but I have not heard you say that you don't love me. And the way she was pushing for that, and she's like, if you say it, I will respect it, and I will go, and we will live our separate lives, but you need to say it. And he obviously couldn't, and he's like, I love you. I can't breathe when you are not near. And yes, but her line about, I will stand with you between the heavens and tell you where you are, and the way that I loved how much she was like, I will cure you with my love.
She was a little ignorant though, and she was like, I found him, I brought him home, and everything is fine now. We're just gonna keep boning and he'll be great.
All is well. All is well. And yes,
And not listening
Reynolds.
to Reynolds be like, he has good days and he has bad days. And Reynolds saving the day almost all the time was, and recognizing the signs of an episode coming, I thought was really interesting.
Oh yeah, he notices that the handshake and just kind of all those moments leading up to it. And I loved when he was so frustrated, after the king was supposed to give his speech to Parliament, and Queen Charlotte's like, he was fine when he left. What did you do? And but the way that Reynolds snapped back, and he's like, he wasn't fine. And he got, and I really love that. And I think that in that small little moment, you really saw how much Reynolds truly cares for the king and for his well-being and all of that. And then I love at the end when King George is like, no, you need to have a drink. I command you drink with me. And Reynolds is like, I can't.
Well, and
It's so cute.
I think I read somewhere, and I can't remember if it was like, I don't think it was like a fan thing. I think it was like a behind the scenes things where the actor who plays Reynolds was kind of talking about it. Like they were best friends growing up. Like they were playmates, him and King George growing up, and then he became his Kingsman. Don't like be like, well, Megan from My Streaming Bubble said this. No. Don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure I heard from a reliable source that that was kind of the backstory that they were going with, and we didn't really see it, but they were playmates growing up, and that's why you see such that fierce loyalty between both of them, because the kid, because George is just as loyal to Reynolds as Reynolds is to George. And it's just different with the state, their different stations.
Yep. I just
Obviously.
obviously. But I loved it because it's like while George is going through his quote treatments with Monroe, and Reynolds has like royal mail to be delivered and gets to see George is kind of shaking and all of that. And the way he's like, do you require assistance? Do you need help? Blink twice if you need help, kind of
You're
thing. I
like,
was like,
please,
oh
for
my
the love of
God.
God, don't do this to yourself.
And the way Reynolds tries to bust in and save him at, like the next time he goes down there or whatever. Oh, it was so sweet. And it's just like, go, Reynolds. Oh, but there's like four of them and just one of you. And something tells me you're not a fighter.
Sorrows, prayers.
Sorrows and prayers. All right, the way older Queen Charlotte says that to her kid after his wife dies in
His
childbirth,
daughter
or his daughter dies,
and grandchild.
she's just like pats him. Sorrows, prayers, just
And
like
then
she's
she's more
uncomfortable with
and
it.
so and more annoyed every time she has to say it to her friends. She goes, sorrows, prayers. Like, can you stop? But I will agree, I don't think she was a great mom. Not from what we've really seen. I think she was so
She was their queen.
enmeshed in George and what George was going through. I don't think she had the emotional bandwidth. And that's not unusual for parents of the aristocracy and stuff to not spend much time with the kids. Lady Danbury didn't really spend any time with her children either.
Yep, and her
Like
parents
we
didn't
said,
spend time with her.
yeah, and like we said, the Bridgertons are the exception, not the rule.
That's just so bananas. I mean, good for
But
them, but how
yeah.
obnoxious. How do they have any friends?
But like also, you waited a little long, baby George, to come and yell at your mommy for not being nice enough to you because she's like, get married and have some babies. What is wrong with you? And I love it. She's like, your dad and I managed to have 15 children all by ourselves. Because they did have 15. They lost two. But I loved the family portrait. I loved them gaslighting Brimsley gaslighting the painter. He's like, everyone is there. What are you talking about?
I love it, and I love Brimsley so much more now because we don't really know or see anything of him in the first two
He's like a
seasons.
henchman in Bridgerton, and that's it.
But here you see someone that cares about the queen and he's loyal to her. There's the one scene where young Charlotte's walking down the hall and Brimsley's that good 5 paces back. And then she stops and she has a moment. And I love this scene so much because it was just, I felt it was like really powerful with no words or anything, just the emotion. The fact that Charlotte needed to just stop and kind of have that moment to kind of break down, but not in a full, like what we think of as like breaking down. She just pauses. But then I will admit the shot was a little corny because he's still 5 paces back, but he's got his hand reaching his hand out. And it's like, I get the shot works for like promotions and maybe like a montage, for like a trailer or something. But I was like, okay, here's the corniness. Because season one of Bridgerton is the horny season. Season two of Bridgerton is the corny season.
Season two is not corny. What is the matter with you?
It is corny, and it's all because Anthony has to
I
sniff the air as Kate walks by.
refuse. Well, I love, now I really love rewatching and seeing how Agatha clocks him sniffing the air, and she's like, I know that comes from your granddaddy. Knowing that she's probably like, yeah, your grandpa sniffed the air when I walked by too.
Oh, but yeah,
I could
it
have been
was.
all y'all step grandma.
Yeah, no shit, right? So, okay, kind of a little bit back to Lady Danbury. Is that why you think she is such good friends with Violet? I mean, we don't really see them
No,
ever how they became friends, but
I think that's incidental. And we wouldn't have seen,
okay.
like, it doesn't take place in that time that they became friends because Lady Danbury, like, Violet's maybe 15. And Lady Danbury is already an adult and been married and had children. They would have no real reason to like hang or
Right.
anything like that. I don't think she really got to know her until she married Edmund and became Lady Bridgerton.
Gotcha.
But who knows?
Who
Give us
knows?
some Lady Danbury seasons and we'll find out.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just a little curious about that because I was like, I hope that's not the reason why
Yeah.
Agatha and Violet are friends, because that's kind of weird.
I don't think that's why. I think it's coincidental that they're friends. But I love that. I do love seeing how Lady Danbury in Queen Charlotte is wanting to put on this ball, this soiree, and no one is gonna come because racism. I did like that it wasn't like this alternate universe of Bridgerton where it seems like everything is fine, everything is great. We get little hints of them, like the precariousness of the people of color in the ton, their kind of situation. But I like how much more this explores that. And I already mentioned that before, I know. But how Lady Danbury goes from like hosting this ball, and it's the first ball of the season. And no one is going to show up, but then Queen Charlotte and King George decide to come, and it's like, well, if they're coming, everybody has to come. Like it's a rule. No one gets to say no at this point. And I love that. And then I also love how that carries over, because we see that still 20 some years later, Lady Danbury gives the first and most important ball of the season. And I'm like, I love how I want to see more of how she cements her place in society and how she becomes from this girl or this young woman who's unsure of where she's going to be and if she even has a place in society to literally being the peak of society and being the person with so much influence over everybody else. I love that. I want to see that journey. But no,
Absolutely.
I also don't think she became friends with Violet because she wanted to get close to her dad. I think if anything, they probably didn't get acquainted until after her dad died.
Right. And that was kind of my,
That'd be awk.
yeah. And it was more like I was kind of thinking if that were the case, it would be after Lord Ledger has passed. Violet is obviously going to be older, and some kind of like in like a way to still kind of be connected for Agatha to still be connected to Lord Ledger and still have like a piece of him, but like around or be reminded or have like a reminder of him. But I mean, they don't say obviously in this season for all the reasons that you stated, and but it would be kind of interesting to see how their friendship
Yeah, I'd like to
blooms.
see that, but I really don't think that's the case because it's
I don't
not
think so
like she
either.
doesn't have other mementos of Lord Ledger, and I feel like she's not. I don't feel like she had like this deep transcendent love with Lord Ledger or anything like that. Like I said, I think they had a lovely affair and they liked each other very much and respected each other. And I think she is always going to have a place in her heart for him because of everything he taught her and all and the time that they were together. Like not just the time that they were together, but the time in her life that this occurred and that transition period we were talking about. So I don't feel like she would need to keep Violet around to remind her, like she has stuff, and even the little birthday hat she had to get sent up from like all hell and back. I think I honestly almost feel like she kind of didn't put Violet and Lord Ledger in the same box until Violet was like, see how these birthday hats my dad made.
Yeah.
I think she compartmentalized that
I could
quite
see
a bit
that.
because Violet was a child then, so I don't
Yeah.
think she would have much mind to a child at that point. She didn't even have much mind for her own kids at that point.
No, I loved that too. Yeah, I hope it's just more of a coincidence, but I would like to see somewhere in the Bridgieverse how they became friends and seeing that kind of
We'll
grow.
see because this filmed at the same time as season three.
Oh, okay. Yippee. And then the whole the whole garden in bloom, and even
Oh
Queen Charlotte tells Violet, like, your garden metaphors are gross or whatever.
my God. When she's looking at the portrait of Charlotte and George and Tamara's like, their garden is always in bloom. I'm like, yeah, with 15 children, come on.
Oh yes. They have a year-round greenhouse. So I thought the whole like garden and the whole metaphor thing was hilarious. It was a lot of fun though. This show was as heartbreaking and beautiful and full of love as it is. It's still a Bridgerton story.
It's still a Bridgerton.
I mean, it's in the title. All right.
What?
Let's see. So then, yeah, I thought it was, I liked how they kind of handled the, the racism of the ton and addressing it without actually like addressing it. I don't know. The way it was like their side, our side kind of thing. And, I mean, I don't know. I liked that they addressed it because yeah, in the Bridgerton series, the first two seasons, it's just, this is just the world. This is just how it is.
Right. They
Kind of thing.
acknowledged that it wasn't always that way.
Yep.
Right.
So I'm glad that they did that, and I liked how that was all, yeah, kind of said and done, and we see the quote, others, the ones that look like Queen Charlotte, all come to Lady Diana, and what? Oh my God, all that pressure. Like, well, you were the first, and you are a lady in waiting, and come on,
Yeah.
let's figure this
Well,
out.
and I wish she could just like, I understand where she comes from with not wanting to bring it to Charlotte because she's like, I don't want to feel like I'm being an opportunist. But the way that hurt Charlotte, like you said, we're friends and you're not coming and talking to me about what's going on with you. What the hell? And I love that Charlotte was also like, how dare you say no to my brother? You broke my heart. Also, you're fine. You have a place. You're okay. But what the hell?
I loved that too. And it was just because she just keeps calling her Lady Danbury, and at in this moment of kind of scolding her. So I did like that too. And it's like, you guys were obviously will be fine. Charlotte will still call upon you and kind of depend on your honesty. And
Try and leave her husband and go hang out with you and make you commit treason by accident because she doesn't understand what's going on. Best
Oh.
friends don't get each other arrested for treason.
But I love that, and I love that Lady Danbury said no to Charlotte's brother. And it was like, as he's kind of and you see it kind of simmering underneath the surface, she's like, well, first she's just like, well, I'll marry him and everything will be fine. But as it becomes more of a real thing, she's like, I don't
The more
know
he
about this.
talks, the more she's like, I don't want that.
Exactly. And it's like he mentions babies and she's like, wait. She's like, I'm fucking
Done.
done having babies. And
Of course, he would need children of his own.
of course, he needs an heir, and oh, she'll be just fine once she learns the language, and they can come back every couple of years if she misses it.
And
Like,
she'll be his helpmeet,
it's like,
his
yeah,
helper.
I'd have said no to him. She did the right thing.
Frankly, even today, if something happened to my husband or my husband and I got divorced, I don't think I'd want to get married again after. Even now, I like and we're for the I mean, we're not recent events notwithstanding, we're fairly independent and free people as women, but all the other
Right.
stuff. I couldn't imagine finally getting that freedom and that independence only to be like, yeah, I'm going to hand it over again to another man and hand my entire destiny and my fortune to another man because that's what happened. Women would marry men and the men would get their everything that they owned. And like, what the fuck? So I would have said no to.
Oh
I
yeah.
don't think I think she considered it and I wouldn't even have done
Yeah,
that.
and she considered it just because I think in that moment of desperation of not wanting to lose everything, but then
Right.
realizing like, no, I'm gonna do this. And maybe, because let's see, I'm trying to think. So she says no to Adolphus after she has her little kind of breakdown with Princess Augustus, and the princess is like, cover your bruises, endure, and don't let, she has some line about like, don't don't stray from your path, from your fate, or something like that.
Yeah.
Catelyn Stark says to young Lady Danbury, and I really liked that, whatever the line was, because it's like, yeah, just don't give up. You're destined for greatness. I can see it in you,
Yeah.
but you have to persevere. Otherwise,
Stop being such a crybaby.
here, drink some of my pear brandy. I loved her flask in her dress. That was the coolest.
She sends all the
Yes. Oh.
out.
And then, yeah, by the end, we do see Catelyn Stark bends the knee to Queen Charlotte. And I loved that moment.
I mean,
At
she
that
doesn't
point. Well, and I like that she finally sees how happy Charlotte makes George.
Yeah.
And she has that moment where Charlotte, where she's like, all I've ever wanted was for him to be happy, and you make him happy. And she gets her blinders off, she sees all of that, and so she does a little curtsy and calls her, my queen or your majesty. And what a big moment for those two characters.
Yeah.
And, love to see it. So I kind of wish this season, I felt this season could have maybe been a little longer, like 8 episodes. When I realized 6 was the last one, I was like, oh,
I mean, I think it could have, but I also really I liked how tight the storylines were and stuff like that. And I think that's the symptom whenever a show we really like comes on is like we always want more.
not done.
Like you always want more. But let's remember Supernatural. More is not always better.
Fair enough. And and I'm not asking for a whole hell of a lot. Just like
Asking for
I'm
327 episodes.
in these days of like the shorter seasons, I'm
Yeah,
good
which
with
pissed me off.
anywhere. Well, I'm good with anywhere between 8 and 12. I think you can easily tell a story between 8 to 12 episodes.
See,
Six can work, but sometimes it feels a little rushed. It
I want
can.
my 22 episode seasons back. Just give me my real long seasons. Come on, quit being cowards.
And all your fluffer episodes and the in-betweens and
Yeah, I don't care. Give me the bottle episodes. I don't care. Give me my long episodes. It's ridiculous. I want to take 800 years to watch one series of television. Although I watch older shows and I'm like, oh my God, it's episode 19 of this season?
oh my God, it feels so daunting to
No, because
these
they're con
rewatches.
the studios are conditioning us to accept shorter seasons. The quality has not necessarily gotten higher with the shorter season, which was their whole excuse for doing it, but like shortening seasons in the beginning. Like, well, we're not going to have as many filler episodes. It's going to be higher quality, tighter storyline, and blah, 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 blah. And that's not the case.
That's not
That is
always the
not the
case, no.
case. Riverdale is just as trashy with 8 episodes as it was with 20.
You know what? That's a really good point, because these later seasons of like The Flash, and granted, it's another show that maybe went on a little longer than it needed to, but
Like,
these
how many
storylines are just
seasons? Wait, how
garbage.
many seasons are they in with the Flash now?
I think they're on their last season. I think it's the ninth one.
So they're like
Eighth one.
7 seasons too long.
Oh,
It went on.
easily, at
That...
least. I would say maybe even 3 to 4
No,
seasons
I
too long.
mean 7 seasons too long.
Oh, gotcha.
You're
Yes.
like, maybe even
Yeah,
more.
I mean,
Maybe 9 seasons. Maybe this show never should have been made.
look, the first 3 seasons of The Flash are I enjoy, but again, those were back in the day of the 20 plus episode seasons.
See, they got shorter and they got worse.
They kind of did, but they're also running out of ideas. Anyway, not here to talk about the Arrowverse yet. One day.
Yet. We're under an hour and a half, though. I'm really proud of us.
So am I. So maybe we should start kind of wrapping this up. If there's anything else that or anyone else we didn't get to that we need to talk about quick, I think we hit all the
I think we hit all
markers.
the high parts and the low parts.
And the so
Yeah.
yeah, it was in that final episode and those final scenes and that final moment, again, just beautiful and heartbreaking. and the look on Queen Charlotte's face when George is like, you did not go over the wall, and almost like she's a little surprised that he remembers that, and then also just like kind of like falls in love with him almost again, like, no, George, I didn't go over the wall. And then they see each other, and it's like, you know, you can tell it's like the older Charlotte looking at like the younger George, and then the older George looking at the
Yeah.
younger Charlotte, because that's how they see each other forever. And I'm just like, take all my tears and leave me alone.
It's also like the most playful we see Charlotte when
Yes.
she's just like, come hide from the heavens with me. And she gets down
Yes.
on the floor and rolls under the bed. And the scene with their feet, like
Yes.
just the shot with their feet under the
Oh my God.
And it's really heartbreaking when you think about it. Historically, Queen Charlotte dies very soon after this.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, because her daughter-in-law is pregnant with Queen Victoria.
I was gonna ask if
And
that's who it was.
that's
Okay.
Victoria. And Queen Charlotte dies before she's born. And by that point, historically, so they put straw down on the roads for her funeral procession because they never told George that she died because he was so far gone and just would have caused pain. So
Sure.
they covered the streets with cobblestone, or the cobblestone with straw, so he wouldn't hear the funeral procession go by.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then when he died, he was deaf and blind. And like, it's like the real story is heartbreaking. And by all accounts, they loved each other very much. He never took a mistress, which was so unusual for kings. Also, he lost an entire country, a whole colony in this time. But that was before he went, like, quote unquote, mad. And it's wild to think about it, right? That this is the George that, like, we as Americans are like, he's so bad. That's when the other funny thing about seeing these TikToks I've been seeing about Queen Charlotte, like, not having me thirst over King George the Third.
Oh
It's
man, that's
also
so sad.
Jonathan Groff from
Jonathan.
Hamilton.
Oh, see,
That's the same king,
I
same
still
guy.
haven't seen all of Hamilton. We started watching it a while ago, and then the kids didn't want to finish it. I don't know where they get it from.
My kids are obsessed with
Oh, I know
Hamilton.
your kids are obsessed with it.
Still, the 10-year-old is like, she hasn't had a chance to see it on stage yet. So, but my oldest has seen the first half twice on stage, and she fell asleep during the second half both times. She goes, "Well,
Oh.
stop taking me to the 8 o'clock shows." Yeah, same King George, same guy.
Oh man. Well, I like that I know this King George, 'cause yeah, he's hot and
Best
he's
friends.
broken, and you know, you just always want to fix the broken ones.
Not crusty like Colin.
Well, shit. All right. Well, I think we've pretty much covered it. I'm sure if we miss anything, we'll be back at some point to tie up these loose ends or whatever. But
We'll talk more about it in season three, Bridgerton.
probably. And how, like, yeah, this series kind of plays into the Bridgerton series. So I'm
The
looking forward
Bridgerton
to
verse,
the Bridgie verse,
the
Bridgerton verse.
BCU.
God, I love it. I hate it and I love it all at the same time. Just like with these fucking shows.
Gonna send you more Rex.
Oh, Lord, help me. All right. Well, that is going to do it for us today. So I want to, of course, thank all my lovely bubblies for listening. And Meg has a podcast. And if you want to tell us a little bit, like where you can be found and stuff like that, real quick before we
I
go.
do. I have a pod. No.
You do.
I have a podcast with my best friend Carla. It's called Bedwetter Behead, and it's basically where Carla and I take a show or a movie, or we've have kind of done a book, and we pick three fictional characters and we play fuck, marry, kill with them and do character analysis kind of along the way. If you think I run on tangents now, you should be. That we still managed to keep them to about an hour, hour and a half, which is shocking. We have played Bridgerton before for seasons one and two. We have talked about horror hunks. We've kind of run the gamut. It's not something where you need to listen to every single episode, but
But you
they're
should.
fun. There's you should. You should. They're fantastic, if I do say so myself. But basically, it's two friends who get drunk and play fuck, marry, kill with fictional characters. It's a hoot. Again, it's called Bedwetter Behead. And our Twitter handle is bedwedbeheadpod. And our Instagram is bed.wedbehead.pod. And that's all. And
Awesome.
yes, I'm tonight we're recording a movie that I love and Carla hates.
Ooh.
Because Carla made me play and watch Bridesmaids, which is a movie that she loves and I absolutely can't stand. So this is my payback. The only way I got her, we're going to be playing with The Fifth Element, the 1997 seminal sci-fi classic with Bruce Willis, Mila Jovovich, and Gary Oldman. It's going to be a hoot.
I
She's
love that movie. I love it.
hates it. She hates it.
That's
I can't
weird.
wait. She's going to be so mad.
I can't wait to listen to Well, and then as for me, you can follow me over there on Twitter at Streaming Bubble. No my in that. And on Facebook and Instagram, you can find me as My Streaming Bubble. I still have a TikTok, even though I'm scared to open it because I know Meg has sent me an obscene number of TikToks featuring Daddy Pascal. But you can follow me there too.
How
Just
dare
search my
you?
stream. Just search my streaming bubble. And if you have any suggestions on what I should stream in my bubble next, you can send those to mystreamingbubble@gmail.com. So again,
I have suggestions about what you should stream in your bubble.
you've had suggestions for all the years I've known you, and I've watched like
Longer
two
than
of
you've
them.
had a bubble.
But yes, thanks, Meg, for joining me today. This kind of quick impromptu-ish recording, because I finished it like a week ago and I was like, ah, we gotta record. And it worked out. So, and of course, again, thank you all, my lovely bubblies, for listening, and keep streaming. Bye. It doesn't come through when you hit the high notes. Just do your
Bye.
bot.
Bye,
Bye, bitch.
bitches.